Well, we're back in downtown Detroit, this time to talk about Michigan's energy future with executives from DTE Energy. We'll cover topics ranging from the role of natural gas and renewables in our energy portfolio to infrastructure and conservation, energy efficiency. And who better to kick off the show than Jerry Anderson, Chairman and CEO of DTE Energy. Jerry, first, thank you for both your time and for this great venue on the 23rd floor of your headquarters building.
I am really glad to have the chance to talk with you. Look forward to it.
Jerry, let's start by giving our listeners who may not know the extent of your holdings and your portfolio, tell us about DT Energy and the scope of your business.
So most people in Michigan know us as the operator of two large utilities, an electric utility and gas utility, with about 3.5 million customers here. But we, over the years, have expanded now to operations in about 20 states across the United States and have three other significant businesses outside of our utilities that are a growing part of the company.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to go to the website to take a look at some of those holdings because it's expansive and it's impressive. You recently announced about mid-May, I think, a commitment to reduce carbon emissions by more than 80% by 2050. Tell us about that announcement and what is it?
So you're right. At a community meeting where we brought together a couple hundred leaders from the region, we announced a reduction of 80% plus by 2050. 80% by 2050 is the marker that scientists have put out there for stabilizing climate. But we also put check-ins along the way. So we committed to a 30% reduction by the early 2020s when we retire the next round of coal plants, 45% reduction by 2030, a 75% reduction by 2040, at which point we will have ended our use of coal as a fuel for electricity, and then by 2050, 80% plus.
Why the announcement now, and how did you arrive at some of those projections that must have involved extensive research to hit those benchmarks?
You know, we have spent a lot of time digging into and studying this, our engineers, our energy economists. And in part, that was driven by the fact that I chair our industry's environment committee. There's a large industry association composed of companies and CEOs. And for years, I've chaired the environment committee. And in that role, I had the job of pulling the industry together around a consensus provision or a consensus position relative to the Clean Power Plan, which was President Obama's climate initiative. It was not easy to achieve a consensus position. You know, we have 50-plus CEOs across a lot of states, but we got there through discussions, evenings, weekends in other cities. We eventually converged on a position. And in the process of doing that, we needed to take a really hard look at DTE Energy because I couldn't advocate that other people come to a position if I didn't understand that it was possible for us and that it could be done in a way that preserved affordability and reliability and competitiveness of energy in America. And what I learned in the process is that we can have both. We can deeply decarbonize energy in Michigan and in our country, and we can do it in a way that preserves affordability. There is no sucker's choice between our environment and our economy.
Coming to a consensus around both the economic and environmental benefits of clean energy, you mentioned that that was sometimes a bit of a bumpy road. But was it the economic analysis that sort of trailed the environmental analysis? Did people have to be convinced that this is also good for the bottom line?
I think people needed to be convinced that it could be done without so damaging pricing and without economic impacts that were harmful enough that their customers would turn against them or their politicians would turn against them. And so the Clean Power Plan forced people to look ahead 15, and really we looked ahead 30 years into the evolution of our production of electricity. And it was in that process of taking a very, very hard look forward that I learned that both are doable. And this country's in a unique position, I think, to be able to pull this off and lead while still keeping one of the lowest electricity prices in the developed world. And that's where we are today. We're the fourth lowest in the developed world. We can preserve that position while we go through this transition.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. A lot of people who maybe haven't traveled as extensively as you have, but if you go to Germany or other countries that are considered developed and you look at their energy prices, I mean, it's shocking in some cases.
Germany is an example of how not to do it. So, you know, the MIT technical report recently said that Germany has provided the world a lesson that you don't decarbonize simply by throwing a lot of wind and solar into the mix. So they did that. Their carbon levels barely moved, and their electricity prices spiked to 32 cents, the second highest in the developed world. We, by contrast, are at 13 cents on average. So it's a radical difference in price. The point is, though, you don't have to do that. But to achieve an outcome that preserves great economic and environmental outcomes, you need to work your way through it very thoughtfully. You need to let the engineers and economists think it through carefully, plan the transition. But if we do that, as I said, there's no sucker's choice.
We're talking with Jerry Anderson, Chairman and CEO of DTE Energy. We've been talking about a commitment, a company's plan to reduce carbon emissions by more than 80% by 2050. Jerry, we talked about the why we're doing this. You talked about pulling a consensus together of your colleagues to look at the future, the importance of clean energy. Natural gas is going to play a key role in that portfolio. I mean, how do you get to these benchmarks a little bit more specifically over the next 30 years?
You're right. It's going to be a mix and a long evolution. So the power industry is the most capital-intensive industry known to humankind. Our assets are massive. They cost billions of dollars and last for a long, long time frame. So any evolution in that asset base requires a lot of investment. What we've described will probably require $15 billion of investment to pull off. And when you're investing that much capital, it needs to be transitioned in over time. So what we see is a steady migration away from coal. Our coal plants are getting old. You know, the plants we're retiring are 60 to 70 years old. It's time to move on to more modern ways of producing electricity. And as we do that, we see a significant mix of renewables and natural gas. So natural gas plays the role of 24/7 power. It's there whenever you need it. And the renewables, obviously, are zero carbon and increasingly economic. They continue to decline in terms of their costs. So, you know, there was a time when renewables were expensive. Increasingly, they stand on a very healthy footing in terms of their economics. I expect that natural gas will play a key role because it exists in large quantities in our country, and it's inexpensive as a result of that, and it's low carbon. So natural gas has 30% of the CO2 that coal does. So you can get a 70% reduction simply by going from coal to natural gas. And in order to pull this off in a way that's affordable for our customers and keeps electricity competitive, natural gas will play an important transition role. I think its role will change over time, so I expect it'll have a larger role early in the transition, and then as you get out in the 2050 time frame, we'll probably see less generation from natural gas and more from renewables. But it plays a very important role helping us make the transition in a way that works for the pocketbooks of a lot of our customers.
You've talked a lot about affordability as you look to 2050. You mentioned reliability. There are some grid issues across the United States, not just in Michigan. I mean, what are some of the challenges you envision having to overcome as we talk about this transition from 2017 to 2050? Is the grid a big one?
Well, I think probably the biggest is to make sure that as we retire a lot of power plants, that we replace those power plants with assets that ensure we have very, very high electric reliability. And if you were to talk to the Public Service Commission today in Michigan, I think top of mind for them is making sure that that's pulled off. And if we don't make the transition properly, you can put that at risk. So Germany has had a really hard time. I mentioned them earlier, keeping grid stability and grid reliability. And to pull that off, they've had to run their coal plants flat out harder than they ever have, which was not where they thought they were headed. So we need to plan the transition carefully to make sure we preserve reliability. We're also upgrading, I would say, the intelligence of our grid. A lot of sensors and automation being put onto our grid so that as we diversify the sources, the grid is ready to handle that challenge as well.
Well, let's bring this right into a household. About 6 months ago, I had a smart meter installed on my house in the Lansing area. But that's part of, and the advantages of that, despite the controversies and all that sort of thing, to me, as an object, the advantages far outweigh what I don't see as many disadvantages at all. Is that part of the infrastructure upgrade and the technology upgrade that you're talking about?
On the grid, it is. So we've just finished up the installation of 3.5 million smart meters. Those smart meters are 3.5 million data points now that tell us in immense detail what the operation of our grid looks like. Not only during a big storm like we had recently, the smart meters were really helpful in piecing together the picture of the damage, but in daily operation. And they allow significant energy efficiency. They allow us to control voltage levels, for example, with a refinement that we've never had before, and that reduces power usage and significant efficiency emerges. But beyond that, as we try to operate the grid more intelligently, we need those data points, and then we need data analytics to go with it. So, yes, significant and important investment for us.
My guest is Jerry Anderson, Chairman and CEO of DTE Energy. Jerry, you mentioned the retirement of your coal-powered plants. We hear a lot of rhetoric in Washington all over the place about the resurrection of the coal industry. Most people like yourselves, most leaders we talk to, say that this natural gas, this trend, natural gas, renewables, greater sustainability, I mean, that horse is already out of the barn, despite what policymakers may do in Washington. What's your take on that?
Well, it's interesting. I mentioned earlier that I had put a lot of time into trying to forge a consensus around the Clean Power Plan. You know, one of the things I'd say is the reason that we came out with our announcement in significant part is that I and my team have a conviction that it's our responsibility to address this issue, and we're going to do that. I really believe that both we as a company and the country were on a path to do that through the Clean Power Plan. But when the new administration came in and effectively rescinded the Clean Power Plan and exited the Paris Agreement, it was my judgment that it was time to simply be more transparent and get out in front of this issue and show some leadership. You're right. I think the economics of our industry dictate that we're headed in this direction. It's not rocket science. Our coal plants are getting old. You know, one thing I've said repeatedly is that a new administration can't turn a 70-year-old coal plant into a 20-year-old coal plant. They are going to be retired. And when you retire them, we are replacing them with much lower emitting sources. Natural gas, 30% of the carbon. Renewables, no carbon. And so the simple math says that we're going to drive down carbon levels steadily. These plants, these coal plants, won't last forever. And there are a lot of companies around the country who face the same dynamics we do. The economics are saying retire the plants. We aren't going to keep investing in assets that are this old. And so I think the train has left the station, and we are going to continue to see carbon emissions decline. Interestingly, there's a strange juxtaposition of rhetoric and reality. So the electric industry in the United States has driven down carbon emissions 25% since 2005. We've done more in the electric sector than essentially any other country in the world. And yet the rhetoric is that we're laggards, and the reason for that is we have not formalized our actions in a commitment through the Clean Power Plan or through legislation. And so I think it's in our industry's interest to get out in front of this and begin to say that we're going to handle this. We're going to make this transition. We're going to do increasingly what our customers and many constituents, our shareholders included, really want us to do. They want us to make this move. Now, I've said earlier, our customers in polls will roughly 80% by majority will say, we want you to go to cleaner, more modern sources. If you tell them the prices are going to go up sharply, they will back off. So we really need to handle this in a way that doesn't sour the appetite for it by making it more expensive than it needs to be. Our investors, prior to my annual meeting, we contacted our top 15 investors. 15 for 15 raised environment and sustainability issues as a topic that was very important for discussion. So, look, our customers, our owners want us to move this way. I think the economics in the industry dictate that we are moving this way. It's kind of time, I think, to get out in front and be forward and lead on this.
And I don't need to tell you this, but looking at the history of energy development, in Western culture anyway, I mean, there are times of transition when these things happen, and the directional truth seems to be clear. It seems to me that DTE is very clear on directional truth and where the future is going.
Well, you're right. Our industry evolves in waves where we see significant technical change and big infusions of capital. And those infusions of capital usually lead to a big advance in the way that energy is produced and used. And we're in one of those for the foreseeable future. So it's an exciting time to be in energy because we're in a transition in the way energy is produced that's all positive in the long run. And we're also in a transition in how the grid will be operated, much more automated use of data analytics to make it more efficient. You know, if I had to choose a time to be a leader in the industry, there isn't a time that's much more fun, I think, than the one we're in now.
Well, not only an interesting time in the industry, but what a great time to be headquartered in downtown Detroit and the renaissance that's going on in the Motor City. I've been talking with Jerry Anderson, the chairman and CEO of DTE Energy. Jerry, I look forward to talking to a couple of your colleagues as we conclude the show.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciated the interview.